Hallelujah. Now remember, we said the theme of the seminar is the Word of God. And we want to start by establishing the link between what you read in your Bible and what we call the Word of God. And we also want to establish what authority does the Bible carry. Hallelujah. What authority does the Bible carry? How did God speak to his people? Because when we say the Word of God, it means that someone is speaking and his name is God. So how does he speak? How does he communicate? How does he get across to us? Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. He says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. He says, God, who at sundry times, that's in, you know, in the past dispensations, he spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. So in those previous times, his preferred mode of speaking, one of his major preferred mode of speaking was by the prophet. But then he says, in these last days where we are now, he is speaking to us by his Son, Jesus Christ. So we're going to take a quick look. How did God speak in those days? Let's look at one way in which God spoke in times past. One way was through angels. In those days, the people revered angels. Why? Because they were messengers of God. It's like God wants to say something to you, he sends you an angel. Let's check that out in Judges chapter 6. That was Gideon. Judges chapter 6 from verse 11. He says, and there came an angel, from 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezerite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. You see, the Midianites were, you know, terrorizing them. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befalling us? And where be all his miracles, which his fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of Midianites. Now, how did the story start? The angel of the Lord. But now if you progress, you're going to see some changes now. He says, and the Lord looked upon him. He didn't say, and the angel of the Lord looked upon him. He says, and the Lord looked upon him. So effectively, this was an angel speaking to him, but that was the voice of God. That was God himself speaking to Gideon. And let's continue. And said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? So, in the Old Testament days, God sent angels to people. And it was him who determined when he was going to send an angel and who he was going to send an angel to. You couldn't work it yourself. Let's look at another way in which God spoke in the olden days. He spoke by the prophets. Now that is, that was really very common. He spoke by the prophets. Let's look at one example. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 and verse 15. The whole Testament is filled with prophecies written down by many prophets. So you are spoiled for choice, really. But let's just take one and move. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. That was a prophecy by Isaiah concerning Jesus Christ. So God spoke to the people through prophets. And these prophecies were hundreds of years, several hundreds of years before they happened, before they came to pass. And God spoke to the children of Israel through Isaiah. So he spoke through prophets. Then another way that God spoke in the olden days was through dreams. He spoke through dreams. So dreams are a valid way of God speaking to people. But there is a proviso, and I'll tell you what it is after we read the scriptures. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. He says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. A few lesson points here. Number one, there is a crisis. It might not look like a crisis in today's world, but that time it was a major crisis. They were engaged and she was pregnant. And the man knew that he didn't do it. That was a major crisis. And the man was going to, ease himself out of it nicely. So he was thinking all the way. Because by the law of their time, that was what he was going to do. He was going to, break the engagement. In fact, if you read further, if you research further into their laws, I think Mary could have deserved a death sentence. So it's not a joking matter. And he was completely exonerated by the law of that time to walk away. So it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't anything that, what he wanted to do was not anything that was out of the ordinary. So he probably was going to do it tomorrow. But then, while he was sleeping, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, don't do it. That child inside her belongs to God. So continue with your plans. Marry and boom. Do you understand that? So it meant that he was going this direction, but God had to interrupt where he was going, intercept him, to give him a dream to say, even though this is the normal way to go, but you are not to go that way. This is the way I want you to go. So it means that most times, God will use a dream to speak to you when in your conscious life, you are not aware of that direction. Joseph wasn't aware that that was the child of God inside Mary. So a dream had to come to inform him. So God really, by norm, cannot guide you by dreams. And also, if he gets across to you validly using a dream, Don't boast about it. Don't boast about it. Because it could be a clue that you are not sensitive to the voice of God during the day. Do you understand? That's one thing I want you to note. It might be a clue that you have ignored the laws of life during the day. You are not in tune with what God is trying to get across to you, and it has to break through to you when you are asleep, when your brain is calm, to quickly warn you of the danger that is ahead. Another proviso to dreams again. I heard somebody say one day, he said, oh, I had this dream. It was a nice dream, but he said something that, you know, got me thinking. He said, and you know, all my dreams always come to pass. If you operate on that frequency, Satan will get you. And I'll tell you how. Before I got saved, I used to have bad dreams. And they were not nice ones at all. In fact, it was so bad that as a teenager, I would not even want to sleep in a room alone. Do you understand? So if I was not being chased by a monkey, I was being chased by a snake. And I would wake up shivering. Hallelujah. But when I got saved, I began to learn that my future is regulated by what I see. That the final decider in my life is what I say with my mouth. Jesus said, you have what you say. He didn't say you have what you dream. So as I began to imbibe that into my life, into my heart, every day when I wake up, I will speak the word of God into the day. That, Lord, I thank you for today. Today is a day of blessing. Today is a day of favor. You know, I begin to speak everything I know about the word of God onto today. That this is what today is going to unveil to me. And I was also getting it ingrained in my consciousness that what I say is what will carry the day. Irrespective of what else has happened. And guess what? Do you know that those dreams, they still came back again after I got saved? The one that came was I was sleeping on a bed. Those, Satan is mad. You know, those dreams, is a dream. But I'm watching myself sleeping in the dream on the bed. So it was like, you know, it was just almost like a movie. It's like you shot a movie of yourself and you're watching it. And there was this day, that's when I said enough was enough. It was like I saw a snake and the thing rose up. As it was about to strike, I just woke up. I said, what is this? Satan, don't ever, ever in your life bring that kind of crazy dream to me again. But guess what? I just remembered. I said, but wait, I have what I say. I'm going to wake up at 6 o'clock and speak into my day again. And whatever happened during the night has nothing to do with the outcome of today. So don't say that all your dreams come to pass. Because God may show you a contrary thing that you need to avert. But you see, if you have established it in the spirit realm with Mark 11:23, that all my dreams come to pass, all my dreams come to pass, all my dreams come to pass, you would have set the laws into motion in your life that any dream that you dream must come to pass. But you really don't want any dream to come to pass. Hallelujah. You really don't want every dream that you dream to come to pass. That's not what you want. Hallelujah. What I want and desire to come to pass in my life is what I am consciously saying. I have thought about it. I have meditated on it. And then I am saying it. But not what I saw in a dream. Because what I saw in a dream may not necessarily be perfect. Then also, your dreams, and you see, these things get mixed up because it's not only God that can speak to you in a dream. You can also have dreams, you know, by natural means. One day my daughter came to me and said, "Oh, Daddy, I had a terrible dream." I said, "Tell me about this dream." He said, "I saw Captain Hook running after me." Straight away, I knew she had watched too much TV the previous night. So and I said to her, I said, "You know what? Now let's speak to Captain Hook." So I now got her to repeat after me. "In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Captain Hook, Captain Hook, I'm not scared of you." So you may be seeing your own Captain Hook because of intensive activity during the day. So God can validly speak through dreams, but check it properly and make sure that it was God who warned you or spoke to you in that dream. And don't put the authority of your life under every dream that you have in the night. Did you get that? Then he also spoke by the law. How did he speak? By the law. Let's go to Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. Now, what God did was he invited Moses. He invited Moses for a one-to-one chat on the mountain. And when he invited him, he said, "Bring stuff along." And what was the stuff? Two tables. And let's see what happened. He gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communion with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. So it was a supernatural operation. The giving of the law was a supernatural operation. In fact, when he was going for one of those conferences, God told Moses, said, "Nobody, no animal should come around the vicinity of that place, or else they will be burnt." So it was supernatural. It was spectacular. And that was God speaking through the law. And let's go to Exodus 34:1. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest." So you see, it was a supernatural operation. Did you see that? It was supernatural. And that was God speaking. And in those days, you just didn't dare break that law, man. God gave those laws. And he told them that they should write those laws, you know, upon their doorposts everywhere and recite those laws. So God spoke through the law in those days. Hallelujah. But then, let us now move into our own dispensation. When Jesus came, let's begin to see how the power began to shift. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 17. And you see, this is where we need to begin to understand that things began to transit and began to shift. Matthew 17, we'll read from verse 1. It says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face shined as the sun. And his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Now, Peter must have been a courageous guy. Jesus took you somewhere. And then a whole supernatural event began to take place. Then you saw Elijah that you only read of in the scriptures all your life. Then you saw Moses that you only read of in the scripture all your life. Can't you just keep quiet? He now began to instruct Jesus. Ah, this is good. Let's build three houses. One for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses. Now, you know the funny thing? Peter had no clue where God was going to. Hallelujah. He had no clue where God was going to and what God wanted to achieve through that visitation. And he could have easily thrown the thing off. Even Jesus that took him there, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, did not talk. And Peter talked. And now let's see what God said. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Did you see that? Before that day, we've been hearing God through the law. You know, the law of Moses. The Israelites, they had the law of Moses. They, you know, when you meet them, they tell you, we are cool. We've obeyed every law. And we are cool. We've got the ticket for heaven. And we are cool. Some others believed more in the prophets. So they quoted Abraham, they quoted Isaac, they quoted Jacob, they quoted Isaiah. They believed in what the prophet said. But then God came on the scene and arranged Jesus, Moses, who was a symbol of the law, and Elijah, who was a symbol of the prophet, and now said and declare in front of everybody that this is my beloved Son. All of you, hear him. He didn't say hear them. So straight away, anybody who comes to preach to me and says that Jesus was just one of the prophets, error. Do you understand? Or Jesus, some people even bring him below to the level of angels, that Jesus was just one of the angels, was a great angel. No. He was introduced as the boss. Hallelujah. It's just like you joined a firm today, and then your line manager says, well, in this place, we get to work for 8 o'clock. And then the guy above your line manager comes along. Let's call him general manager. And he says, we get to work here for 7:45. And then 30 minutes later, one man turns up, but you don't know his identity. And then they now tell you that every other thing you have heard before this man came is superseded by what this man is saying, because this is the man in charge. You understand? So it means that if the prophet is speaking to us, we have to be sure that what he is saying conforms with what Jesus is saying. If the law decides to speak to us, we have to be sure that what it's saying is approved by Jesus before we can embrace it. Because Jesus was introduced as the person that we should hear. Now the question is this. for the last 4 years, Amen, who have you been hearing? Something happened. Who did you go to hear? Was it the law you went to hear? Or was it the prophet you went to hear? Did you take any time at all to hear Jesus on that situation? Hallelujah. God said, hear Jesus. Who have you been hearing before today? That problem has lingered. Who have you been hearing? You meet a Christian. So this situation, what have you done about it? Oh, my pastor prophesied to me. Or one visiting man of God prophesied to me. But you haven't heard Jesus. What did Jesus say? Hallelujah. Because God said, hear ye him. And we're going to see this as we travel on. I'm going to make an attempt to stop in the next 10 minutes because of our time. And then we'll move the remaining stuff over into the next session. So we've gotten there now where the authority of Jesus has been established over every other channel of hearing God. Hallelujah. And you see, Jesus did his best to get the message across to the Jews. And I'll show you some scriptures where he did that. Remember I said that all those other modes of hearing God, they were valid. God actually spoke through those modes. When Moses went to collect the law, whose finger wrote the thing? Whose finger? So you are sure that God's finger wrote it? Now we're going to read one scripture that will show you that the emphasis shifted and people were not aware. Hallelujah. I'll just skip very quickly to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we read from verse 21. And do we have an idea of what's contained in the law? Stuff like thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness. You know, we're aware of some of those things, right? Okay. Verse 21. You have heard, this is Jesus speaking, that it was said by them of old time. Excuse me, whose finger wrote, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in the danger of judgment? Whose finger wrote it? Eh? God's finger. And Jesus turns up on the scene and says, you heard of the old time. And if Jesus is God, Jesus himself was actually there when it was being written. Do you know that? Because every activity of God involved Jesus. Even when man was being made, it says, let us make man. So it was a discussion between the Godhead. So if the finger of God wrote it, Jesus was present when it was being written. But now the same Jesus, who is God, is now saying to the people that you have heard of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in the danger of the judgment. But I say unto you. So he was now saying that this is what your line manager said, the law. But now me, the MD, is now saying, it means that what the MD says supersedes what the line manager has been saying before the MD turned up. So what did the MD say? He says that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in the danger of judgment. So what Jesus was trying to communicate here is that you guys think that you are cool because you have not killed anybody yet. But my own level is higher. that the fact that you even got angry at all against your brother, as far as my own standard is concerned, you have killed. Because the way the Jews escaped was that if I did not bring a knife to do this to you, then I have obeyed that law. So I am free from the consequences of that law. But when Jesus turned up, Jesus said, oh, it takes more than that. Oh, that the fact that you even sat down and you were angry, you have already killed. Means that if the pass mark was 3/5 and 3/10, and all of us got 4, 4, 4, Jesus now said, my own pass mark is 9.5/10. So all of you failed. So that burst the balloons of the Pharisees. Did you understand? When they caught the woman in adultery and they said, what shall we do? Jesus, tell us. Easy. In fact, you would have even thought that if Jesus had said something like, if you have ever thought of it, cast the first stone. You know, if you ever thought of it, nobody will know. So if you decide to cast the first stone, it means you didn't think of it, right? But Jesus even brought the level low. He said, if you have not done it before, throw the first stone. So it means all the people there had done it. So my question, why did they bring the woman there? Do you see where we're going now? That Jesus' level is above the law. Let me give you more examples. He said, you have heard that it was said of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her committed adultery with her already in his heart. So they thought they escaped because they never did it. But he said that you even thought of it, you broke the law. Did you see that? So what Jesus did was that he came with his own set of operations that was higher than what the Pharisees and the Jews were meddling with. And he established his own supremacy, that look, to walk at my own level, it means that you have to be walking at a level that is way beyond the law. And we know that there is not humanly possible for you to fulfill the law. And if you break one, you broke all. That's the way the game goes. So if I give you 10 laws, you break one of them, you've broken all of them. Hallelujah. So that was how Jesus began to show up on the scene and began to establish himself according to what God declared him to be. He says, hear ye him in front of the law and in front of the prophets. Hallelujah. So that was the supremacy of Christ over the law. Hallelujah. But now today, God's word is his preferred mode of speaking to us. Hallelujah. God's word is his preferred mode. That is his preferred mode of speaking to us. And you will get the most power out of tuning in into the transmission of God's word than any other way of God speaking. Hallelujah. Let's go to Romans chapter 4, verse 17. And this is how it is done. Romans 4, 17. Are we enjoying this introduction? He says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So God's preferred way of bringing miracles, changes, transformations into your life is by his word. And I was discussing with my wife today. I said, what has happened today predominantly in the body is that in church, people come and they tell them, oh yeah, you do this, you do that, you do this, you do that, you do this, you do that. So everybody is busy. But people are not told that, look, the core of your Christianity is your intake of the Word of God, not your serving of tables. So what has happened is that we all come to church. So if I can get you serving table, so everybody is serving, we're working for God, we're working for God. And the person has no input of the Word of God, no regular intake of the Word of God into his spirit. One day, when trouble strikes, he will then begin to pray. And when he's praying, he will be saying to God that, Lord, I worked for you. I served you. I ran around for you. But the heart is empty of the Word of God. So there is nothing to believe. Do you understand? So some people will then fall away from Christianity because if that situation does not turn out right, they'll be disappointed. And they will wonder what happened. In my early days of Christianity in school, there were people on fire for God. After 2 years, said, I don't want to hear that name Jesus around me again. We're in school. And I used to wonder what went wrong. They hit some challenges. They couldn't solve those challenges. And they said, no, this whole thing is rubbish. Let's pack it up. And they walked away. Do you understand? And that's because we did not pay particular attention to people's spiritual lives. That, what are you consuming? All we just ask them to do is that once a new guy joins the church, just give him work to do, keep him busy so he won't run away. But no word was going into the guy's heart. And if no word was going into the guy's heart, he's not hearing Jesus. And when trouble starts, he only heard the law. The law is that I did this, so you must reciprocate. And if you are praying to God on the basis of, God, I did this, and don't feel bad about it. I used to pray like that before. You understand? It's all part of the growth stages. Before we found the light. So, seriously, I've prayed before like that. Say, Lord, you know I did not miss one tithe. I've prayed like that before. Do you understand? But it's wrong. I'm saying to God that I did. So you must respond. No. That's not how to pray. Prayer is receiving what God already did. Do you understand? And all this we can't understand if we do not have a personal relationship with the Word of God. If we don't cultivate the habit of relating personally with Jesus and hearing Jesus. Do you understand? This is just the introduction to the Word of God. That God spoke through the prophets, he spoke through dreams, he spoke through the law, he spoke through angels, but today he is speaking through his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the Word of God. The Bible says that that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So it's Jesus. So everything about your Christianity must be pointing you to Jesus. One woman was on TV yesterday. Oh, there's no way I wouldn't have said what that woman said to you. You know, the Archbishop said he's going. The Archbishop of Canterbury. He said he's going. So they now went to meet this woman, BBC. They call her a lay member of the synod. As in, she's not a priest, but she's a member of the synod. So they said, what have you got to say? Said, he was a good guy, but I wasn't really too impressed because I never heard him preach Jesus Christ. So my question was, what was he preaching? Because it is only Jesus Christ that has what we want. And he went on to say, he said he never had the boldness to preach Jesus Christ. That he just wanted to play the balancing act. That, you know, keep the gays happy here, keep the women happy here, you know, all the women priests, gay priests, business, all those things. Just make sure everybody is happy, keep Cameron too happy, then keep the royal family happy, you know, just balance the thing. Hallelujah. The woman said, I didn't know more about Jesus Christ listening to him. And I said, Lord, when I finish talking to people, may people never say this about me. Okay, we listen to you for 1 hour, we didn't hear Jesus Christ. So I leave that as your food for thought. 1 hour is gone. We're going to take a short break, just 15 minutes, because we started late, and then go into the second session. Hallelujah.